Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
The story is told of a judge who began court by saying, "I have in my pocket two checks, one from the prosecution for $15,000, one from the defense for $10,000. What I have decided to do is return $5,000 to the prosecution and judge the case on its merits." We understand the humor in this story because we know that when dealing with man, justice is often a very elusive thing. But at no time in history has man ever been more unjust than in dealing with Jesus the Christ in his trials. We do hope that you'll take your Bible and study along with us. We always turn to the Scriptures as our source for authority. We hope that you'll do so as well. 2 weeks ago, we began looking at some of the background material to today's lesson, some of the laws that existed at the time of Christ that should have dictated what kind of trial he had when he was accused of being a blasphemer. We find, however, that Jesus did not receive justice. First, we saw what the law should have done for him in protecting him and his rights. And then last week, we looked at three different trials at the hands of the Jews. We saw the preliminary examination before Annas, and then two trials before the Sanhedrin under the high priest Caiaphas. And in all of these cases, Jesus was treated very unfairly. Today, we turn our attention to three more trials. These are the three trials under Roman authorities. Rome ruled the world at that time, including the Jews as a nation, and therefore the Jews could not put to death one who had offended their law. They had to have the permission, even the assistance of the Roman government. We find in John chapter 18, beginning in verse 29, that they come to Pilate, who was a Roman governor of that time, and they accuse Jesus of being an evildoer. He wants to know exactly what he had done wrong, and rather than bring a charge against him, they simply say, "He's an evildoer, and we would not have delivered him to you unless he was." Pilate said, "You take him then, and judge him according to your law." Well, of course, they had already done that, or at least they claimed to, and they did not want to do so because they wanted him to die, and that means that they had to have the cooperation of the Roman government. At that point, then, we see that they changed the charge that they brought against him to a charge of treason. In Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 1, it says, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, the King." Then Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he answered and said, "It is as you say." We see that Jesus does respond to their charge. When John records it in John chapter 18 and verse 33, it says that Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus to him and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answers that charge. Beginning there in John chapter 18 and verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate certainly had heard of the events in the garden the previous night, and he knew that Jesus and his disciples did not fight, but rather that Jesus stopped his disciples from fighting. After hearing Jesus' answer, Pilate returns to the Jews who had brought Jesus before him and said, "I find no fault in him at all." This is the first time that Jesus is declared to be not guilty by Pilate. Pilate knew what was right, but he found in the words of the Jews an opportunity for him to profit politically. As Luke records it in Luke 23, beginning in verse 5, the Jews were more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean, and as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him back to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. This ends the first trial that Jesus had before a Roman authority, when he sends him away to be heard by Herod. Evidently, all of the Roman rulers had gathered there in Jerusalem for the great feast, just as had the Jewish people. The second trial is recorded for us in Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 8. And while we'll not take the time to read it, we know that Herod did not seek justice. Herod had heard of Jesus, and he had hoped that Jesus would work some miracle that he might see it. But rather than seeking justice, and rather than Jesus giving him the show that he wanted, Jesus simply held his peace. He did not speak in his own behalf at all, at which point Herod returned him to Pilate. We said that Pilate gained political advantage by this because he and Herod had been enemies, but after this time, they became friends. Because Pilate showed him this courtesy of sending Jesus to him, this healed the rift between them and caused a friendship where they had been enemies. We find then the third trial is going to take place back before Pilate. In Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 13, "Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, 'You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I find no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chasten him and release him.'" This is the second time now that Jesus has been declared to be not guilty by Pilate. And although Herod did not pronounce a formal sentence, we find here that Pilate accepted the actions of Herod as agreement, that Herod also found Jesus to be not guilty. Pilate did not want to kill Jesus. Pilate had been warned by his wife not to have anything to do with him, according to Matthew 27 and verse 19, and his wife had received this information in a dream. Pilate again tries to find a way to satisfy the Jews without killing Jesus. In John chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, it says, "So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said, 'Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him.' Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, 'Behold the man.'" This was the third time that Pilate declared Jesus to be not guilty. Pilate here is trying to appeal to the compassion of the people. He commands them, "Behold the man," hoping that they will see this man in his beaten and bloody state, that they will see him as one who is not a threat to them. But the Jews were far beyond compassion at this point. They simply would not accept anything short of the death of the Christ. In John chapter 19, beginning in verse 6, it says, "Therefore when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him! Crucify him!' Pilate said to them, 'You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.'" This is now a fourth time that Pilate has declared Jesus to be not guilty. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." You see, when they brought him before Pilate, they created the charge of treason. They lied and said that Jesus taught people not to pay tribute or taxes. That was not true. Jesus taught exactly the opposite. When he was asked specifically on this question, he took a coin and saw Caesar's image on it, and he said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Now we find in the heat of the moment, when it appears that Pilate might release him, that the people say exactly what they really meant. The people come, and again the charge is brought against him. He has made himself the Son of God. This is back to their charge of blaspheming that they actually found him guilty of before the Sanhedrin council. Therefore Pilate, when he heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and he went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. We must remember that Pilate was a pagan and believed in many gods. Here we find a man who was brought before him claiming to be the Son of God. Pilate might even have considered this to be a real possibility, and he was now frightened at the thought that he might actually be putting to death the Son of a God. Now, of course, he did not accept Jehovah God, the living God of the Bible, but he thought he might be putting to death the Son of a God. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You can have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." We need to remember that Pilate is not in charge of these proceedings. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that he would lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus is in charge, and he reminds Pilate here that the only authority that Pilate has came from God. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whosoever resists the authority resists the order of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." God has established civil government and the right of man to rule. We need to understand then that we should live in accordance with those laws, and Jesus always did. But notice that Jesus does not release Pilate from responsibility for his actions. Jesus here said that those who delivered him had the greater sin. That means that Pilate was also judged by our Lord to be sinful, just not as great a sin as those who had delivered him. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out, and he sat him down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, Behold your king! But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then they delivered him to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and they led him away. The Jews once again have rejected the kingship of God, and the kingship of the Son of God, and they have placed themselves under Caesar. In doing so, they have finally come to the point where they can accomplish their ultimate goal. They have been able to put to death by the hand of the Roman government the Son of God, the one who came and died for their sin. As we've learned in these last 3 weeks of looking at the trials of Jesus, he was treated very unfairly. The injustices done him were greater than any others ever recorded. But he went through all of this because he loved us. Of us, he requires obedience. He requires that we demonstrate our love for him by obeying him, coming to him in faith, repentance, confession, and being baptized in water for the remission of our sins.